Welcome back to the clubhouse. Here in the McAdoo studios, Kyle Bailey, Chris Barnhart, and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Final segment with Mr. Coleman. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL, and of course, follow TechSideline at TechSideline. Little update if you missed it from earlier this afternoon. Virginia Tech baseball knocked off number one UVA at English Field. It was a game scheduled to start at 5:30, but inclement weather coming in this weekend, we think, and they moved the game back to noon, but I've yet to see it. Well,
as far as I'm concerned, it could rain the rest of the weekend. Let's just let's say, you know, we beat UVA in the series, and let's just have some rain.
Well,
what was the line from Bull Durham? Oh, I can get us a rain out.
Yeah, I can get us a rain out.
Except in Virginia Tech's field, a rain out?
No, it's not. Yeah.
It would have to be raining during the game.
It drains pretty well, that's for sure. So the Hokies knocked off number one UVA in game one of a three-game set. Game two scheduled tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pregame coverage starting here on Super Sports 101.7 with Andrew Allegretta at 1:50. But again, inclement weather permitting that start time or a game at all. So tune in for the rest of the weekend of Commonwealth Clash baseball here in Blacksburg. 10 straight home games for the Hokies after having spent the first 16, well, I guess the first 15 games
basically
season
the first part of the
on
season
on the road.
I mean, they don't have a choice. I mean, just from where Virginia Tech is located.
It's just too unpredictable.
Yeah, it's just too unpredictable.
You may have a 60-degree day in late February. You also may get 6 inches of snow in the third week of March. You know,
that's right.
You just don't know.
Yep.
That's no news to anyone here, though. Let's go back to football. We talked defense for a second. I think depth along the defensive line is especially important, so I want you to talk about that and what you see there, but also depth at linebacker, which also appears to be of great concern.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. My biggest concern is at Mike, where there's just not a lot of bodies there. Almost all the linebackers in this program right now were backer types. You got Matua Puaka. You got Sean Heelskamp at Mike. They think a lot of him, but he's a walk-on, and he tore his ACL last year against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Carson Lydon, who's a true freshman who enrolled this spring.
Physically,
he's ready to go. There's just not a lot of bodies there. And ultimately, I think he'll be that number two Mike linebacker this year. Defensive tackle depth, I think, is terrific. I think it's as good as it has been ever in this program.
Talk about it.
When you got Luther Matty, an NFL player, you got Corey Marshall, who's really his strength and his athleticism and his quickness for that position, even though he's a little undersized, I think he's an awesome player.
I'm going to steal your thunder for a second because I think I might know where you're going at some point. I think people forget about Woody Barron, too.
Oh, yeah, they do. They forget about Woody Barron. He's a guy who he played as a true freshman, got banged up before last season, so I don't think at this point you've seen like the real Woody Barron.
Yeah.
But coming into the season, he's going to be an upperclassman. And you're going to put him in there with Nigel Williams, who was a proven defensive tackle, who played very well last year when Luther Matty was out of the lineup. Who are we leaving out? Ricky Walker played a lot as a true freshman this past year. One of those guys has to be the fifth defensive tackle. They redshirted Anthony Mahota, who was a highly recruited guy.
Yeah.
Somebody in that group didn't get a play.
You mean Vincent Mahota? You said Anthony. That's his brother, right?
That's his brother.
They play at UVA.
I even do that in articles.
Do you really?
I'll say Anthony.
Did he play at UVA? How'd you do that?
I don't know. That's just
one of those things.
One of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Vinny Mahota, one of those guys didn't get him to be able to play. I might even look into possibly redshirting a guy like Ricky Walker if I thought Mahota had made enough progress. We'll see.
Always injuries, too.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good to have that depth there. That's great depth. Defensive end, not so much. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Nijman.
Yashua Nijman.
Don't know how to pronounce his name, but you know, checked in at 6'7", 277. They're swearing up and down. This guy's a defensive lineman.
Oh, he can move, man.
If he's a defensive lineman, he's going to be. He would be the tallest defensive tackle Virginia Tech's ever had, or the biggest defensive end they've ever had. And it's not how big he is right now. It's what he's going to be. He's going to be 320. I mean, he's got the frame to be 320.
So explosive, too.
Yeah. So I just don't know where he's going to play. Is it going to be end? I don't think he'll be stay small enough to play end. Is it tackle? I don't know. Is it offensive tackle? I don't know. So there's a lot of unknowns. I will say of that front seven, though, what worries me most is the Mike linebacker spot.
Right.
I like Andrew Matua Puaka, but I will admit that he didn't play quite as well as I thought he would when he came in last year.
I know Bud loves him.
I know Bud likes him, loves him a lot, but he wasn't quite as advanced as I thought he would be, and maybe that's my fault. Maybe that's my own bad expectations from him. But to me, that position, even if he's a good player, what is the depth going to be behind him? Yeah. You just don't know at this point.
You're right. Let's go to the other side of the trenches. Offensive line, I'm going to put you on the spot. Opening night off or Ohio State, excluding injuries, who are your starting five?
Right now, my prediction would probably be Jonathan McLaughlin from left to right, Wyatt Teller, duh, Eric Gallo at center. I think right now they're leaning towards Auki Kani at right guard and then Wade Hansen at right tackle. I would prefer to
You think Hansen's played well enough to earn that starting right guard or that right tackle spot?
Well, no, but I don't think anybody else has either.
I wasn't questioning you. I'm just yeah. I don't know that I was expecting to hear that name.
But well, yeah, and honestly, he's your ideal swing tackle, your third guy, ideally. But somebody's got to beat him out, I think, or really what has to happen is we need a right guard to step up. If a Braxton Pfaff or an Austin Smith can say we're good enough to play right guard, then you could look into playing Auki Kani at right tackle, where I think he's a better run blocker. I don't think he quite has the bend to block, you know, those shorter, squatty defensive tackles that you see a lot of in college football. But I think he can block defensive ends. But is that going to happen? Is one of those guys going to step up? Because it might be they might have to move Connie back inside because he's just their best option at right guard, and they're trying to get their best five guys on the field. So right now, my pick would be, that would be my pick from left to right: McLaughlin, Teller, Gallo, Conti, and Wade Hansen.
I'm not going to put words in Bud Foster's mouth, but in talking to him yesterday, and this just might have been an off-the-cuff, you know, thing that he said, that there was not much meaning behind it, but when we're talking about this team, he made reference to the quarterback position, used the word he, you know, very transparently with reference to Michael Brewer, saying, you know, he's going to be better, he's going to have a year under his belt, and we all expected that Brewer was going to start the spring as the number one guy. You know, he obviously has to improve and improve drastically in a lot of ways. Can they, from where you sit, can they win a conference championship with Michael Brewer at quarterback?
You know, if he cuts his interceptions in half. If you look at their schedule and he cuts his interceptions in half, yes.
Okay.
They can win the Coastal Division Championship.
Well, no, I'm talking the conference championship, because there is no Jameis at Florida State.
No,
they still have
Florida
questions
State.
There. Deshaun Watson's exciting at Clemson, but they lost a ton on defense.
Yeah.
And Watson, we don't know if he can stay healthy yet. You know, that's yet to be determined. Louisville has to break in a new quarterback there. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's impossible. I think they can, but everything would have to fall into place perfectly. They would have to stay healthy.
Yeah.
They would have to have a good year running the football. No tip passes for interceptions, yeah. Anything like that.
I mean, and no more the gunslinger stuff.
Right.
No more the Brett Favre stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was what
the defense gives you, and yeah.
That was what I think was most frustrating to Tech fans. It was the interceptions are always frustrating, but they're going to happen.
Sure.
But it was the, you know, off the back foot, falling down, throwing balls that you just couldn't fathom, you know, even Logan Thomas at his worst trying to throw.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's what drove fans crazy last year.
Yeah, I think so, too. Some of those interceptions you look at and you're like, what in the world happened on that play?
Yeah, it was
Yeah. So those, if you can cut down those, and those were probably half his interceptions were plays of that variety, then I think this team has a chance to take big step forwards. Now, you know, you've also got to throw in, all right, everything he had to do when he got here – when he started practicing in August, he was unfamiliar with the cadences, unfamiliar with his receivers. Obviously, I mean, he had been here all summer and thrown with Tech's receivers, but the fact of the matter is his receivers were true freshmen. And then also one thing he was unfamiliar with was taking snaps from under center.
Oh, yeah.
He never had to do that before. So there were a lot of things he was unfamiliar with, and I know that has to make you as a quarterback feel very uncomfortable. So the familiarity level with everything is going to be much higher this spring. And that's why I think everybody's expectations should go up, including Scott Loeffler's. I know he's going to have big expectations for Brewer and, quite frankly, for all the quarterbacks this spring. Because, you know, Brewer's going to be starting his second year in the system. You know, he's familiar with everything. Brendan Motley knows the offense. Andrew Ford's been here a year now, and he's a very cerebral guy.
And I'm told he's had a great offseason.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't surprise me. And he's a hardworking guy, and he's a smart guy. So I think the expectation levels for the quarterbacks as a whole, as a group, go up quite a bit this spring from what they have been in the past.
Well, they should be. And it's just little things with Brewer, I think, you know, pocket present type stuff, not holding the ball too long, not taking – you know, mega deep drops from the shotgun,
yeah.
You know, putting his tackles in terrible positions. Just little things like that could be cleaned up and make a world of difference.
I think so, too.
As it pertains to field position and turnovers and converting, you know, not even converting third downs. They weren't half bad at that sometimes.
They
this
were
season.
Pretty decent.
It was the first down situations they found themselves, you know, in rough spots sometimes.
I swear that's the only team I've ever seen that was better at third and 15 than third and two.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And then, of course, running back, because now with Shia McKenzie's current legal situation, I know I don't expect him to play this year. For whether he's on the team or not, you know, coming off a torn ACL again. With that, I don't expect we'll see him. Marshawn Williams, his recovery is still completely up in the air. J.C. Coleman ended the season on a great note. You think Trey Edmonds is going to be 100% healthy by the time the spring rolls around. Trayvon McMillan's a guy you got to factor in there. Frank said it. They want three guys to go with. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out that way last year because running backs get injured. But three guys, day one, week one, who are they?
That's a great question. I think the depth chart week one, and this is assuming Marshawn is back and they feel like he's 100%. I think your top three in no particular order will be Trey, Marshawn, and JC.
Okay.
And
not much different than last year.
Right, right. But the thing is, Marshawn didn't have that surgery until, what, December?
Yeah.
Before the swelling went down. If he's not 100%, then I think Trayvon's going to be in there. I think Joel Caleb has a very small window to impress. All right, he's entering his fourth year in the program. He really hasn't done anything yet. If Trayvon McMillan shows any little sign at all that he's better than Joel Caleb this spring, then he's going up the depth chart because he's a freshman and Caleb's going to be a junior.
Yeah.
So I think Caleb, it's a big spring for Joel Caleb if he wants to get himself involved in the tailback race because it might be his last chance to do so.
Yeah, I 100% agree. We're out of time, but you know what? That's what next Friday's for.
Because we've got the whole offseason.
Yeah, next Friday is going to be a couple of days before the official start
That's
of
right.
spring football. So we'll have more information, more things to talk about. We appreciate you coming by.
Sounds good. Thanks,
Chris
man.
Coleman, TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. Him and Will Stewart typically join us every Friday afternoon for the second hour, and we appreciate that. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show on a Friday. Y'all keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.